It's good to be in God's house. And thank you for being faithful. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So, yeah, Walmart's a great company to work for. And thank you for serving and working. I know there's a lot of work to be done in some of that, big companies like that. But pray for Jeremy and Mary Coleman, their way. And come on in. Good to see you folks. Thank you for coming. But they're on vacation. I think they're up in Kentucky where I was born, that area. And so they're going to have a good time, I'm sure. I think they're going to go see the Museum of the Bible in different places. Thank God for the Bible.
Amen.
Yeah, you come to church, you should have your Bible. And so we're thankful that we can open the Bible in freedom for now, and we can learn of God and sometimes be refreshed. And, you know, it talks about in the New Testament how we need to be taught again a lot of times. And so today it may be familiar with some of you, but others, you might need this today. So I'm looking forward to the day that God is going to give us, and we appreciate you so much. When you read the Bible, you should read it carefully, prayerfully, and expectantly. You should have a heart of expectancy, and you should say, Lord, teach me something. And just bless me out of your word. In fact, he tells us in Revelation chapter 1, as blessed is those who hear it and read it. And so you're blessed even by God by sitting under the precious word of God. So let's take our Bibles right now and let's go to Romans chapter 6. We're going to be talking about the subject, what salvation means to me. What salvation means to me. And I would ask you the question, what does salvation mean? Mean to you? What does salvation? Maybe I'll have a few hands and you can answer that, what salvation means. But if you have Romans 6, let's stand together in honor of his word. It's a well-known verse, even what we call as Baptists, part of the Romans road. And Romans 6:23, if you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Let's read it out loud together. Ready? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's pretty good news right there, that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Come on in, folks. We love you. Well, let's pray and then we'll get into the lesson. Father, we're grateful today for your love and your salvation and, Lord, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And, Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, use me today to be a blessing to these dear folks. Thank you for our church. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for people getting saved. I think of the 9-year-old boy, Frederick, that got saved last week. And Lord, others you're dealing with and working on, and for the good visits. And just, Lord, we just give you the glory for all this that you're doing in this place. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the lesson, what does salvation mean for me? Can I ask you what it means for you? Anybody would like to say, what does salvation mean to you? Go ahead, don't be shy. If you're saved and you know it, you should know. Okay? What's that? Freedom from sin, and I'm thankful for that freedom. Yeah, you're not going to die in your sins. That's what we're going to be talking about a little bit today. Somebody else, what does salvation mean to you? Okay, young. Saving your soul. You're saved. Yes, and you don't have to worry about going to hell. You can go to heaven when you die. So you're saved from the penalty of sin. Somebody else, what does salvation? David?
Salvation means I'm going to spend eternity in heaven.
Eternity in heaven. You've got some loved ones over there too. Praise the Lord. That's good news. Someone else, what does salvation mean to you? Okay, Robert?
Gift from God.
It is a gift from God. We just read that, in fact, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know, we can't earn it, can we, salvation? It's a gift. It's a free gift. Somebody else had their hand up over here. Okay, John, what salvation means?
Contentment.
In Jesus, yes, we can have that. Okay.
The promise of me and my household.
The promise?
The promise of me and my household.
That's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Joshua in his farewell address. Anybody else before we get into this? a little bit what salvation means. Well, it means a whole lot, doesn't it? We remember what we were. What we were. You know, there's a statement, I'm not all that I should be, Brother Jackson, but I'm thankful that I'm not what I used to be. And I like that. We remember what we were. Go in your Bibles to Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. In the New Testament, Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. What does salvation mean for me? Well, we remember where we were before salvation in Ephesians 2, 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. So, you know, without the Lord Jesus Christ, what happens when we die? We die in our sin, don't we? We carry all of our sins into hell if you don't know Christ as your Savior. But I'm thankful. The good news is you don't have to do that. You can have your sins forgiven with Jesus, and He wants to forgive you. Okay, something else that we were before we're saved is found in John 3:18. Find a lot of salvation scriptures in John. John chapter 3 and verse 18. I love the book of John. In fact, we'll be preaching out of it here in just a little bit. But in John 3, 18, the Bible says, He that believeth on Him is what? Not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There's only one way to heaven, right? And if we don't trust Him, if we don't accept Him in His free salvation, then we're condemned. We're condemned already. You don't have to keep doing things to get condemned. We're born into a world of sin, and we're all guilty. We've all come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. So before we remember, after we're saved, we remember that we were lost. We remember that we were condemned, and we remember something else found in verse 36. Look there. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So before we're saved, the wrath of God is abiding on us. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, he that hath the Son hath what? Life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. So you won't have life unless you have Jesus Christ in your heart. But the wrath of God is abiding on folks who don't know Christ as their Savior. And a lot of times they think, well, wow, all this stuff, it just live, eat, live, and be merry. But they forget that the rest of that verse that says, but for tomorrow we die. You see, there is an eternity. Life is not stopped right down here on this earth. We will live forever somewhere, either in heaven or in hell. But I'm thankful that you don't have to have that wrath on you. You don't have to be guilty when you stand before God. And you know, we should be prepared to meet God. Amen? One day we will meet the Lord. And it's the pastor's responsibility, really, to get you ready to meet God. That's our responsibility. And if the wrath of God is still abiding on you, then you're not saved. I'll often quote this verse or use this verse, verse 36. Go back. He that believeth on the Son and is baptized. Does it say that? He that believeth on the Son and quits drinking or quits smoking. He that believeth on the Son and tries to be a good person. No, it doesn't say that. It says, the Word of God says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You know, I was going to quote this or show you this verse, but while you're in the book of John, go over to John chapter 20 and verse 31. John chapter 20, verse 31. Why was the book of John written? Well, it tells us right here in verse 31 of the book of the Gospel of John. Chapter 20. All right, we're going to read this. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. So I hope you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, that's what He said to that Philippian jailer, Brother Jackson. He said, what must I do to be saved? And what did the Apostle Paul tell him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So if you've never believed, I hope you do that. You take care of that. You need to take care of it today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You say, why? Because you may not have another opportunity. And you know, God made it easy for us. Amen? He did all the hard work on the cross of Calvary. He suffered and bled, shed His precious blood. He was nailed to the cross, and His hands and His feet, and pierced His side, and He took all of the sin of the world. He bore our sin in His body on the tree. I'm so thankful that Jesus made a way. And He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him, by Jesus. So remember what you were before you were saved. You were lost. You were condemned already. God's wrath is abiding on you or anybody but before they're saved. And then here's something else found in Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Go over there. Romans 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the what?
Servants
of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. And so before you're saved, before anybody's saved, they're still a servant of sin. Brother Jackson, you remember how God saved you and changed you and rearranged you? And, you know, only one that could do that is Almighty God. And Jesus is the Son of God. And He is God. And so before we're saved, we're the servants of sin. And you're dead in trespasses and sin. And guess what? You're headed to an awful place before you're saved. But after you trust Jesus as your Savior, you never have to worry about going to this place we're getting ready to show you. Go over to Revelation, the last book in the Bible, the New Testament. Revelation chapter 20. And let's look together, please, in verse 15. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, I tell you what, that's something you never have to worry about if you're saved. But if you're lost, you will be at that great white throne judgment seat. And you may think that your good deeds outweighed your bad deeds and that'll get you into heaven. Or you may think that going to church every single Sunday or getting baptized is going to get you to heaven. But friends, that'll never get you there. Amen. Only Jesus. You need to look to Jesus. But if you've been saved, you don't have to worry about being cast into that lake of fire. That's the second death. Oh, I'm telling you, that is something that you never have to wonder about. Okay, now what did God promise? Well, He promised what Robert said just a minute ago. He promised the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, my mother passed away not too long ago. My dad just passed February, and they're up in heaven. I kind of want to think they're leaning over the handrails there in heaven, the banisters, and saying, "Preach it, son, preach it." you know, I want to see more people up here, and it's wonderful. You just don't know what it's like up here, really. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man what God's prepared for us. So He's promised us so much, the gift of eternal life. You know, Charlie Kirk just went out into eternity, didn't he? Where is he at right now? He's in heaven because he placed his faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And you know, a lot of people are asking questions now that otherwise would not have asked questions, but he died for his Savior, Jesus Christ. He's a modern day martyr. And you know, just like others who gave their life, it talks about those in the book of Hebrews. But if you're saved and you have salvation in your heart, before you were saved, you didn't have eternal life in heaven. You had eternal life in hell. So I'm thankful for that. We just read that verse, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's another verse, well-known verse, John 3:16. Help me to quote it. Will you help me quote it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not 1 week's worth, 1 month's worth, 1 year's worth. No, sir. When you're saved everlasting, eternal life. In fact, he says, I give unto them eternal life, and you shall never perish. So you have that, and we need to remember what salvation means. It means that we have eternal life, and he's promised that. And when God promises something, it's there, okay? He doesn't have, like in the Lamb's Book of Life, when your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, he doesn't have an eraser, okay? It just won't come out. It's there. And you can have that promise of eternal life. You have forgiveness of sins. Go to Colossians. Colossians. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 14. These are precious verses. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. What do we have? What do we have promised from God? Let's read it together. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I'm glad of that, aren't you? Because we need forgiveness of sins. And, you know, when you get up to heaven, and I don't know if it's going to be like this. You've heard illustrations like when you meet the Lord at his gate. And he says, why should I let you in to my heaven? Why? What are you going to say? Well, it won't be because I deserve to be here or I'm a good person or, you know, I put this much in the offering plate or anything like that. No, won't be anything like that. We're going to plead the blood of Jesus, aren't we? And it says like in this verse, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And I think when we see the Lord Jesus, we're probably going to fall on our face, our knees, and we're going to say, thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me through your blood. There was a time in my life that I was saved. Do you have that? Can you go back to a time in your life where you realized you were a sinner and that you called on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you? Because that's the only way you can get saved, right? It's through the blood of Jesus Christ being saved. And then go to Titus chapter 2. You'll find Titus right there in those T's. Thessalonians, Timothy, and then Titus. Right between the end of Timothy there and Philemon. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, this pastoral epistle. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And so what has God promised you? He's promised you salvation by his grace. Some of you know this verse. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. A lot of people have trusted Jesus with Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Help me to quote it if you know it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, folks, it's not by our works, is it? So I spoke well-meaning people a lot of times and say, do you know for sure if you died you go to heaven? And a lot of times they'll say this, I hope so, or I'm working on it. But they don't know. They don't have the assurance of salvation. And, how much work do you have to do? You know, I'm working on it. But a lot of times that's not going to get you. Well, it's not going to get you there trying to work. But a lot of times people think that it's going to help you to get to heaven. But that's not what the Scripture says. It's not by works of our righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. Aren't you glad for His grace today? Amen. God shed His grace on us. And it's appeared to all men. The Bible says, salvation hath appeared to all men. I'm so thankful for those verses. Okay, here's one. Go to John chapter 15. You guys are doing good. John chapter 15 and verse 11. When you get saved, He promises you some joy. John chapter 15, verse 11. Love these verses. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You know, you just won't have that joy of the Lord in your heart if you don't know Christ as your Savior. Now, you may have some happiness, and happiness is good. Thank God for happiness. But really, if you want this joy that and this peace that passeth all understanding, friends, you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, you know, somebody did an acronym about joy. And it's J, that's Jesus. So it starts with Jesus, right? I think there's like four joys in our church. There's a lot of joys in here. We visited with a joy yesterday and had a great visit. But others, O is for others. So Jesus first, others, and yourself last. You know, a lot of times people, they have no joys in their heart because they don't have Jesus, and it's all about them, right, instead of others. And so we need to get our eyes off ourselves, and we don't need to be selfish. In fact, my mom and dad were married 72 years, and I asked my mom and dad, interviewed them, wrote some things down when they were getting up in age, and I said, what's the secret of a happy marriage? My dad thought for a moment, and he said, unselfishness. You know, people are so selfish. It's all about me and my way or the highway, you know. But no, it's about Jesus, and it's about helping others find that joy. And if you know Jesus Christ, you want to give them that joy, right? You want to give them that that blessing of knowing Christ as their Savior. So maybe there's someone here today that they just don't have that, and you know it. You know you don't have it. I remember when David Galbraith came in. He sat right here on his first pew. I don't think he'd ever been in church. He's over here teaching right now. But he'd never been in church. And he came up to me after the service and he said, something's missing in my heart and I don't know what it is. I'm empty. I don't have that peace. Well, I know what it was. It was Jesus. Amen. And he trusted Jesus. And now he's serving the Lord. I'm so thankful for that. So what has God promised after salvation? What does salvation mean? Well, it means the gift of eternal life, the forgiveness of sins. It means salvation by His grace. It means the joy that Jesus Christ can only give. And you're in Philippians. Let's go to this one. Ephesians, Philippians, chapter number 1. I'm sorry, chapter number 4 and verse 7. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, it passeth that understanding. Oh, in days like this, in times like these, I like that song, we need a Savior, don't we? And if you have Christ as your Savior, you get the third person of the Trinity. Who is that? Who is the third person? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And when you get the Holy Spirit, He gives comfort to the believer. And that's a wonderful peace, knowing that. And I'm thankful that we can pray to our Heavenly Father in Jesus' name, and we can get the help and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Has there ever been a time in your life when Satan threw some kind of fear at you? And you know, the Bible says in Timothy, for God has not given us what? The spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So a lot of times old devil throw fear at you. But that's not faith. Faith is the opposite of fear, right? And sometimes, Miss Hattie, the Holy Spirit will say, it'll be all right. You're going to be fine. Just be comforted in these words. And the Lord gave us the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, to get through these times in our lives. He said, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. We sure don't know what's going to happen with this shutdown or any other kind of shut out or shut down. But you know what? God knows. And God's on the throne. And I'm thankful when you get saved, you have that promise. I think it was a preacher who said this. Listen, the future is as bright as the promises of God. Amen. And when you think of God's promises, they never fail. You know, He's going to take care of you. He's going to, what happens if we have a recession? Or what happens if I lose my job? What happened if this? Or what happened if that? Well, I may have cancer. No. The Lord is still on the throne. And He's not all shook up. He's not wringing His hands. And He's not taking a Pepsi. Amen. He's not stressed out. He's Almighty God. And for His children, He's got you in His hand. I'm thankful for that. So what He's promised us, that's what salvation means. Now what you and I did, we have about 10 minutes. What we did to come to the Lord. Well, here's one. I think if you're saved, you know this one, David. What did we do when we got saved? We called on Jesus. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? We have God's word on it, don't we? We ask Him. And He saved us. What else did we do? Well, we believed in our heart. Romans 10:9. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our head. No. Believe in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. So we receive Jesus as well. It's believing and receiving. I want you to see that verse. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Really, it comes down. You're going to believe and receive, or you're going to reject. You're going to reject the Lord. You need to make that choice. In John chapter 1, verse 12. We're actually going to be in this chapter here in a little bit. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. I don't know about you, folks. I don't know about you, but I'm glad for the day that I received Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I've never regretted it. I've never regretted trusting Christ as my Savior. And you know what? It's a free gift, Robert. Like you said, we didn't have to pay for it. But Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. You know what that tells me? He surely loved us. You know, it's a blessing to give. In fact, the Bible says it's more blessed to give. I remember in Winco and the Holy Spirit knocking at my door. And there's a family there, and they had a bunch of kids. And this has probably happened to you in one way or another, but, you know, I they were so poor. They were poor people, and I knew they couldn't afford those groceries, so I just kind of went there and told the cashier, you know, swipe my debit card. I paid for their groceries. I didn't know it was going to be like $250. You know, but I left there, my wife and I left there, overjoyed because we were able to give. You know, the Lord, He gave Himself. And he looked forward to giving himself so that you could have eternal life. Have you ever been maybe in a drive-through and you pull up and you get there and your bill's already paid? Or something like that happens in a restaurant and somebody, the Lord just blessed you and helped you. Oh, friends, it's wonderful to be on the receiving end, you know. And I'm thankful that that one day when I was 10 years old, actually in 1969 under a carport in Orlando, Florida, someone cared enough about me to tell me that Jesus loved me and I didn't have to go to hell. He also told me I was a sinner, and I knew that, and I believed that, you know. And but he told me how to get to heaven, and in fact, he's still living today. Ben Bounds, we still talk, and he's getting way up in age, but, you know, he's still going to the mission field, still telling people how to receive Jesus and get that free gift. So I'm thankful today for my salvation, what Jesus did for me that I received. We did that. Come on in, Amy. We repented of our sins. And, you know, the Bible talks about repentance. And that is built into believing. I mean, it all goes together. You can't truly trust Jesus Christ and believe on Him without realizing that, hey, you need to ask for forgiveness of your sins. So we do repent. Acts 17:30 says, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And what is repentance? What does that mean? It means to change your mind about what Jesus is. And it also means to turn from your sin and to turn to the Lord. So that's what repentance is. And when, if you're truly saved, you realize, hey, it's not me, Lord, that's saving myself. It's, I'm sorry, forgive me. Thank you for shedding your blood on the cross and receiving that gift of salvation. That's believing and repenting. And it's real. It's certainly real. What did God do when we were saved? Well, He declared us not guilty. That's what you call justification. Just as if I'd have never sinned. See, your sins were put on the Lord's account. He paid your penalty. And you're free. It's like if you went before the judge and you were convicted of a crime, and you're getting ready to be hauled off, and the judge says, you know, I have to pronounce you guilty. You're guilty. And your sentence is this. But right before they hand out the sentence, the judge takes off his robe, and he comes down to where you are. And he says, in reality, you should pay this fine. You should pay this penalty, but I'm going to do something for you because I love you. And that judge takes his robe off, goes down there and said, I paid your penalty. I paid your fine. Now you can go free. And that's what Jesus did. He took our penalty and He set us free. That's justification. He washed us. We have time for just a couple more. Let's go to Revelation 1:5. He loves you so much and He washes us in His blood. Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Chapter 1 and verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. And that ought to make you thankful right there, folks. Amen. Greater man hath... there's no greater man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And you know, Jesus laid down His life. No one took it. And if what else did He do? He wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's go there. Revelation 21. 27. Is your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? In verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. What else did God do? He made us a new creation. And you know, as a pastor, a lot of times you get phone calls, I'm going to commit suicide. You get that, sadly. And people are on the brink. They're on the edge there. And what do you tell them? You tell them God loves you. And you're accepted in the Beloved. He laid down His life for you. And this is not the way. This is what the devil wants. He wants to take you to hell. But Jesus wants to give you that peace. You know, a lot of times people get saved right at that point. So don't we need to have the answers when people tell us that? And so give them what God says. God loves you and He's not finished with you. And there is hope. Amen? Amen. There's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that we can be accepted. Now, when you're saved, salvation is one terminology. You're saved, you receive salvation. What about this one, born again? Talking about the same thing, right? You're born again from above. And you have life in Christ. Last verse, this will be the last one. Galatians 2. Galatians chapter 2. I absolutely love this verse. This could be a life's verse for a lot of people, but this is wonderful. Galatians chapter 2, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Look here. Isn't this wonderful? Who loved me and gave Himself for me. So I'm really glad for all that the Lord does. He promises a person when they're saved, and I'm glad from what He saved me from. He saved me from my sin. He saved me from hell. Now, when you're saved, you're a Christian. The life of the Christian is not about you trying to look or act like a Christian. It's about allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to live His life through you by faith. Amen? By faith. What is faith? Faith is simply believing God's Word and acting upon it. Trusting this book right here, right? That's faith. Faith in the Lord. And when you put faith in the Lord Jesus, you'll never be sorry. So I'm thankful for all that God does. Now, that doesn't mean when you're saved, Mary, life is a bowl of cherries. Everything's going to go great. You're still in this flesh, right? You're not going to have a glorified body until you get to heaven. So it's not always easy as a Christian, but He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And He's faithful. And you can ask Him for help. If He's your Heavenly Father, He wants to help you. And He will. He promises that. Let's stand together. Thank you for being in Sunday school. Father, thank you for all you give. Lord, you've loaded us with benefits. And we're so thankful and blessed. If there's one here, Lord, that's missing out on the wonderful salvation, it's such a great salvation. Oh, Lord, may they accept you before it's everlasting too late. And Lord, be with our service to come. Thank you for each person, each child, each a person, a soul, Lord, has entered these doors. And Lord, we just trust you for the results. In Jesus' name, amen. See you here. Get started in about 10, 15 minutes.